Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
I believe that God wants to do more through us, and I believe that we're better together in generosity. So I'd like to talk about generosity this morning, the need for us to live out generously. And when it comes to generosity, and you look at His Word, and when we look at life, it is central. When we look at the Bible, we find generosity from the start to the end. We find God showing us generosity. And it's important for us not to miss on this principle that we find in Scripture, but also in life. And if we would stop today and look at if we would remove generosity from our life, our generosity that was shown to us, we wouldn't be here, right? You look at Jesus on the cross, you look at Christmas that's coming, you look at Easter, and it's all about generosity, where we see God show generosity and we see God expressing generosity to us, right? So when it comes to one of the main principles to live by, it's generosity. It's to walk by generosity. And one of the things that we're called to do is to live with generosity toward each other. And when we look at our relationship, our family, and people around us, we have to see that foundation is generosity. You look at parents raising up younger ones, right, where they invest time and nights and effort, and actually even when they grow older, there's even nights that you pray and you intercede for them. It changes, but they're always in our heart because we're parents for life, right? And all of you that are parents are saying amen, right? But imagine if your kids, when their kids are 25 or around 25, and you would say, you would have a meeting at your house, and you would say, okay, son, or okay, daughter, let's go back, and I'll give you, we've ramped up a bill of all what we've done for you, and now it's time to pay back. It would be kind of funny, right? Like all the sleepless night and all the sports and the food. If you have boys in your house, food. It's unreal. We don't have the boys that are in our house anymore. And wow, it's a little way cheaper when it comes to spending on groceries. But imagine if that would be the case, right? That you have this list of bills for your kid when they hit 25. It doesn't work like that. Hopefully it doesn't, right? Or your neighbor comes to your door and he wants to borrow your stepladder and you say, yeah, $20. Someone says, oh yeah. It wouldn't work well. You wouldn't have good neighbors, right? If you would do that. Like, you look at the place of generosity in life, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, right? And so when it comes to walking in generosity, and we live in a world where it's very focused on ourselves, and sometimes we are not as generous as we should. And we need to be reminded that generosity is a way of life. And as believers, I believe that we should be very generous based on how generosity was shown to us. And so I'd like to unpack this truth this morning on generosity, where generosity is the key for community, but it's also the need for the kingdom. As much as we know that you can't have a family relationship without generosity, where there's a give and take, it's the same thing when it comes to the kingdom. The kingdom needs generosity. God has decided to function with us. And if I do my little world, if I take care of my little world, and I don't look at the fields, and I don't see the call for me to be generous, I will miss out partnering with God in generosity. So generosity is found everywhere, and it's needed. It's needed in our lives, as a community, as brothers and sisters in our family unit. Generosity is needed. But when it comes to God's kingdom, it's also very needed. And so it's important for us to realize that God wants us to grow and excel in generosity. So I like this quote from Henry Ford, and I remember mentioning that quote in the past, and I think it's a phenomenal one. It says, coming together is a beginning, staying together it's progress, and working together it's success. And I believe that God wants to build synergy, and he wants us to function together so that we can do his work and so that we can be more fruitful, because we understand we can do way more together than for us to do things individually. And so what I'd like to talk about this morning, I'm going to lay a message for the next 3 weeks on generosity. And I'd like to lay the foundation on with this thought. Why should we embrace generosity? Why should I be generous? And the first one is because God is generous, right? That's the reason that we want to be generous, is because God showed us or gave so much for us. And we know this famous verse of John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his son. And I don't think you can love without giving, because the expression of love, it's to give. And we see this message, this message of Jesus beyond words, where he lays his life down for us. He gives his life to us. We find him promising the Holy Spirit that we would receive the counselor. And when we look at scripture, when we look at the gospel, we see giving as a central truth, right? It says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So every good gift comes from God. And we find the example of Jesus, he kind of showed the way in Matthew 20, verse 28. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So generosity, it's not just about money. It's about giving. Giving of yourself, your talent, who you are to other people. And the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to show us the way of living a life that has generosity in it. Actually, that the heartbeat of what we live, by what we live, it's by generosity. And this is the response that we should have toward God. I like the story of Luke chapter 7, where you have Jesus, he's invited to come into a house from a religious leader, Simeon or Simon. So this guy, this religious leader gets Jesus to come to his house. And Jesus kind of tells him, hey friend, I came into your house and you didn't pour any oil on my head. You didn't give me water to wash my feet. You didn't even give me a kiss on the cheek. And because they were complaining about this lady, this sinful lady that came in. And because she was at Jesus' feet, and she was washing Jesus' feet with her tears, and then she took perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet, and she didn't stop kissing him. And Jesus was comparing both, and the thought was, if you receive a lot of forgiveness, you will have a lot of love. And I believe that when we understand how we are loved and how we're valued by God, when you understand the picture of the cross and what Jesus suffered for us to be reconciled with him, when we understand what was paid for us to be in peace with the Father and for us to have a place in eternity, we have to let that move us. And I believe that when we are moved by this, it creates generosity. Would you agree? It's impossible to receive all the blessings of God and take, and I'm so blessed, and not giving it away. It doesn't make any sense, right? That as a Christian, we take the promises that are yes and amen in 2 Corinthians, and we live our lives, and it focuses on me, and me again. It doesn't make any sense. And so we receive freely. What do? We give freely, no strings attached, right? Because we receive so much, right? And so generosity is birthed by what God has done for us, right? So first, why am I called to be generous? It's because God is generous. Secondly, generosity is what makes community. Like I said earlier, if there's no generosity, there's no community. True fellowship can only happen with generosity. Authentic community, the foundation of authentic, now that's my French kicking in, authentic, the TH are hard, really happens when There's generosity. When I give and you give, when I pray and you pray, when we walk together, I look at my kids when they were younger and they went through youth and junior youth, and I saw some people investing in them. That's community. In return, I want to do the same. I'm pouring, my kids are receiving, and you know, we're there, we pray for each other. We all go through crisis and difficult time, and it's beautiful to see the church come together. And that's what it's supposed to be like, right? You remove generosity, there's nothing left. Generosity fosters interdependence. What generosity does, it really says to me, I can't do it on my own, I need you. I need your gift. I need your help. I need your generosity. I cannot function without your generosity. Like, I had the privilege to go to Ottawa a few weeks ago, and I shared about that. I asked prayer at the prayer summit to God to open up so we could meet some of the leaders of the opposition and hopefully meet the prime minister. And we met a lot of MPs, and we were able to meet Pierre Poilievre. We had a great conversation. It was amazing. But you know, when I was there, I reminded myself of your prayers. But I didn't know what was going to happen at first. If the doors would open up, it was like kind of a whirlwind because of the elections that are the topic on the Hill. And so I didn't know what was, we didn't know until we were there what was going to happen. But I found my security in the fact that God, I believe, opened the door, and to know that I was not alone. That's how it functions. So we're better together because of generosity. I believe generosity breaks down barriers. Whether it's not about prestige or social status, is we're serving one another. It doesn't matter how money you have in your bank account. When you experience sickness, challenges, and so on, it's hard no matter what. It doesn't matter your social status when someone prays for you, right? When you say, hey, only those that have a big bank account should pray for me? It would be stupid, right? No, it breaks the barriers of whatever, right? And generosity creates solidarity and unity. It creates partnership. I remember like 10 years ago, for those that were not here, and we moved in this building 8 years ago, I remember having a conversation, or we were having a conversation on how much it would cost to have this building. And honestly, we were a little overwhelmed. Like, I remember even before that, we were saying that we need $100,000 more a year to be able to think of moving forward. Like, that's how I felt. Can't do it. And we saw God move in a supernatural way, but what we saw is people coming together. And we were able to pay that in a short time of 4 years-ish. And it was because of people believing in the cause and stepping together, and we're seeing the fruit of it today. But I believe God wants to do more. And I believe that God wants us to look in the future and be aggressive on believing that God wants to reach our region. That's why we have on our wall in the foyer that our goal was to see 1 million more in our offering, in our giving, because I believe God wants us to expand and grow when it comes to the kingdom and also what he has in store. For example, where are we going to be in 10 years if the Lord tarries? We're already full here. Like, we fight against the clock for the services, and the parking is our nightmare, right? And probably yours too. But thank God that you're continuing to come. But we need to dream. We need to believe God that he's not done. But that happens through generosity when people come together. So there's solidarity and unity when we give together. And it was so excited. If you were here, you remember how I was excited when we moved in? It was so cool. We saw God's provision. Well, this is the same thing when it comes to the future. I believe God wants us to realize that my generosity towards you, my generosity collectively, is very important when it comes to the kingdom. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. An awesome text. It says, Philippians, yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. When you look at partnership with me in giving, it's one word, and it's koinonia, depending how you say it. Probably I didn't even say it right both times. But it's one word that means fellowship. Fellowship. Like, we define fellowship on having tea and having lunch together. Yeah, to some degree. But fellowship here is about partnering. That's how Paul defines fellowship. So we look at this verse, and it says, no church entered into fellowship with me except you only. So we would think that fellowship is just hanging out together. But here the meaning of fellowship is being unified in purpose. You find the same thought in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. Command them who are rich in the present world to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Well, generous and willing to share, it's the same word meaning fellowship. So having fellowship, we say that we want to fellowship, we want fellowship. Well, fellowship means to be generous and willing to share. This is where true fellowship happens, where I'm generous towards you and you're generous toward me, and we share. And this is where we find true fellowship. And out of that, we build a testimony. And people are seeing this and they're praising God for that. And you find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. What an awesome verse. I'm saying that often. Awesome verse. They're all awesome. In verse 13, it says, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them, and all the believer will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of your overflowing grace, of the overflowing grace God has given to you. And I like this, right? So we share together, we're generous, and here it was talking about collecting an offering for Jerusalem. So they came together and they were giving, and what happened is that people are praying, God, intervene in my life, or my kid to know the Lord, or whatever. And then something happens through generosity, and God meets their needs, so they're turning and giving praise to God for your faithfulness. And what it says, it focuses on overflowing grace God has given to you. And I believe that's the key of better together, is to see that overflowing grace of what God has given me flow over you. That's why we minister to each other. That's why we have these ministries. This is why we invest in the local church, is because it's an overflowing of my life to you. And then God moves through this, and then people say, I thank God for what God has done. So it gives glory and praise to God through our faithfulness and through our belief of generosity and community. What a great picture, right? Thirdly, generosity gives us deep joy. Can you say to your neighbor, deep joy? It really does. And we find the words of Jesus expressed through Luke in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a sense of purpose, right? There's a sense of making a difference. There's some stats and studies that say that helping others and giving freely can actually lower your stress levels. How many of you are stressed? Then be generous and might help you. You heard about the runner's high, right? How many of you, don't have to raise your hand, but you like that runner's high? Or you feel that, wow. Did you know that there's also a giver high? A serving high? It fulfills you. It fills you because you know that you're making a difference. I'm not saying that you give because of that high, but what I'm saying is that as you give, there's this inner satisfaction of making a difference. And so there's joy in giving. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. You're partnering with God. It's exciting. God has poured over you so much in return. You're so excited to be a blessing, right? There's joy in the offering. And so we want to have this deep joy of making a difference, and we want to be excited in generosity, where how can I bless you? It should make me happy, right? I should be excited on, hey, how can I bless you? It's a way to live. And I believe that when we live in this way, there's way more freedom. We're less attached to the things of this world. Number four, our calling is to be generous. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul is talking about his ministry. He says, now a person who is put in charge as manager must be faithful. Manager must be faithful. Paul saw himself as a manager, and he felt the call. He believed the call for him was to be faithful. And this is when you understand that God is the owner and that we're stewards, right? Whatever we have, it's given by God. In Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Agai says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. So it talks here that it belongs to God. And I'm called to be generous. Even my life doesn't belong to myself. If I gave my life to Jesus, then it means that I gave my life to Jesus. So it's not about portion of Jesus, as I surrender my life to him, right? And here we're called to excel in generosity. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, in your gifted speakers, and in your knowledge, and in your enthusiasm, in your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving. So we're invited to excel in this gracious act of giving. I'm called to excel. So if I just can have your attention this morning, wherever you are on this journey, God is inviting you to excel in generosity, not to be caught by the fear of lack, not to be caught in your little world and your only your little things. Yeah, if you have responsibility, you have pay bill to pay, absolutely. But at the same time, realize that my calling is to excel in the gift of generosity and to believe that God will take care of me. That's the battle. Who will take care of Claude? Will it be Claude or will it be God? And it's hard, right? If you're a man, well, all of us to some degree, but for me, like, no, I want to know my future. I want to be in control. I want to fix stuff. And then it steals my joy. And you know what it also does? It steals my generosity, right? Because I want to plan. I want to be in control. Yeah, God wants me to be smart. Absolutely. But at the same time, it's not to quench this call to be generous. Because living in community, better together, has to have generosity, right? Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And it's so true, right? Number five, generosity is an act of worship. So when you give, you're worshiping God. And that's what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. And we can focus on verse 10, that your barn will be filled. Amazing. But my first call, it's to honor the Lord. And when what you do is you honor the Lord with your giving. This is what Abel and Cain did in early, the get-go in Genesis. They brought their first fruit to the Lord. It's not like giving your leftovers. You pay all your bills, you do all your stuff, and whatever is left over, you give to God. No, you say, God, your first fruit, the first fruit belongs to you. It belongs to you as not on a law, not on something that is for, but out of worship. And I believe God takes pleasure in that, to the point where it says, then your barns will be filled, overflowing, and your vats will bring over with new wine. So the principle is not that you give to receive, but you honor God. You worship him, and you put him first. You're caught up with him. And when you're caught up with him, and you want to live for his fame and for his glory, what happens is he takes care of you. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 talks about this battle that we are in. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or mammon. And that's the battle we face, right? So when you're generous, you're choosing to say, God, I put you first. When you tithe through the church, when you you put God first, it's an act of worship. It's not an obligation, it's not a law, it's a principle to live by. Number six, God blesses generosity. Proverbs 11, verse 25 says, a generous man will prosper, and who refreshes other will himself be refreshed. That's what we want to see in community, right? You bless me, I bless you. We're not holding back. We're investing in one another. You look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured onto your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. If you take this verse out of context and you say, well, I'm going to give to get back, then your motive is not right. Because you're giving to get back, your focus is on you. But your focus needs to be on God, and your focus should be on others. And let God do his job of providing. It's not for you. Don't use this verse for you to provide for your own way by giving so God can give back. Because again, you're still in control. But it's not about control here. It's about putting God first and giving to him and investing in others and just believe that God will take care of you. It's a big difference between the two, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. God loves a cheerful giver. And so God blesses generosity. So why should I be generous? It's because it causes me to grow in faith. I gave you the example in the past. We were saying, oh, can we afford $100,000? Well, God did. And because we trusted and because we invested and we believed in it, now we have faith for more. Because we trust him, because we saw his faithfulness, right? It causes me to experience his provision and see his faithfulness. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. This is where we have the word Yahweh Jireh, the one that will provide to your needs. And he's talking to the Philippian, thank you for investing in me, and I know that God will also invest in you. So it causes you to grow in faith. So much I'm saying, right? I tried to, I had way more, but I had to chuck. There's so much on generosity when it comes to the word of God, right? Like Malachi 3:10, God is talking to his people, and the people are giving leftovers, lame animals for sacrifice, and God says, don't do that. Give me your best. And it says in verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the stores that there may be food into my house. And look what he says, test me in this. A question of faith. Test me. We don't see God do that often, saying, test me in this. But he says this financially, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. We know it's way more than money. It's not about money. It's about laying your life down, putting God first, and believe that he will provide. And God says this, he will. And it's going to be better than our expectations. You know, I've been a pastor for so many years, and I've seen God do this time and time and time again. And as I was preparing this, I was saying, God, I want to excel in giving. And sometimes you plateau, right? You just do the routine. I realized, God, I need to see my heart be moved. I need to be touched. I need to believe that you are at work and that you will provide when I put you first. Number eight, generosity deals with my selfishness and pride. Selflessness versus selfishness is my battle and yours. I wish we could come to a point, I wish today my selfishness would die and selflessness would be on forever. It's a decision I have to live, to make every day. Will I live like the world, selfishly, or will I live like Christ, selflessly? It's a death to self, right? It's not an easy thing. But the Lord says if the grain of wheat dies into the ground, it will bear fruit. right? And so we want to not be led by selfishness, but to show generosity. Like when you get involved in a ministry, when you pray, when you take time to connect, you're showing generosity. When you do the extra effort to bless someone, it's generosity. And so life is so fast, and sometimes we lack generosity. And that's the heart of the message, that we would be generous. My last point, generosity reminds us of eternity. Generosity reminds us that this is not home. You might have a great home. You may have a great car. You may have a great bank account. It's not home. It's all going to pass, right? You'll know, you can't bring a U-Haul with you. You were born naked, you will return naked, right? And that's what we find in Scripture. Isaiah 40 compares our life like a flower. And you know, like you think about the summer. Remember when you planted your flowers? Yeah. Now it's, winter. Like life is short. And what you will carry with you is generosity, because generosity is linked to people. Matthew 6 verse 19 says, store yourself treasures in heaven, knowing that life doesn't stop here. Amen. So my prayer is that we would be a church better together in generosity. And if you're here this morning and you've walked away from the faith, or you're living in sin, and I like to see this because it's so real, when you're caught in guilt, when the devil says there's no hope for you, that you've crossed the line, when you think that you're too hard, that there's no redemption, it's so not true. God is generous. He gave his son. And there's going to be one day where Jesus will come on the white horse, and he's going to separate the sheep and the goat. But it says in Isaiah 61 that we live in the Lord's favor. It's the era of grace. Don't miss your shot. Come to him. Receive his love. Receive his affection. Yeah, you need to surrender. You need to choose him, right? You need to say yes to him. And if you do that and you say, God, I give you my mess. I give you my heartaches. I give you my suffering. I give you my pain. I give you my sin. He's going to come in. He's going to move in you. For sure you want to connect with other believers. That's why we have a prayer room in the back. So we can pray for you, and more than just pray for you today, but walk with you in this journey. But I don't want you to leave here without experiencing the grace of God, the gift of God, Jesus. All right? I would ask you to stand, invite the worship team to come. Lord, if you're here this morning, pray this simple prayer. God, I give you my life. I surrender to you. Exchange my guilt with grace. Open my eyes to who you are and how loving you are and how you love me. And you've set a path for me. I say yes to it, Lord. I say yes to that. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not generous. You're controlled by the fear of lack. And when it comes to church, you don't see the value that you have to give of your time, of your energy, of your resources. Just pray for the work of the Holy Spirit to come upon you so that we would be a people, that we would be a church that is generous, a church that understands the calling of blessing and investing and sowing in one another, but also in your kingdom. So may you be magnified this morning, Father, as you unite us with purpose so that we can finish the race and be effective until you come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.